contract signed, etc., etc. In the coming weeks, and the Sugyos here is back, and there's a lot of different, we'll deal with a lot of issues that there are between a tenant and the landlord, which Meshem will deal with over the next coming weeks. We'll deal with many shayles of what the Hischaivus is, what, let's say, someone rents an apartment for someone, what the landlord's obligation is, what he has to fix, what he doesn't have to fix. Sometimes he asks the landlords, they have their thing, what they're mechuyev to fix. The tenants, for some reason, feel it's something different. And there's a lot of gray area, even when there are contracts written and signed, which we saw this week, that all tenayim which there are within a schirus, the Mechaber says, Shem Shemasna, Odom Kol Tnai, Shir Tzvi Mekach, Kav Masna, the schirus, those tenayim will be binding. But very often it's not explicit, it's not clear enough, and there are things that go in between. You have to deal with, let's say, there's a suffix as to whether or not it's covered by the contract, by the lease. Take a typical example, which is a very common child of, let's say, extermination. Person rents a house and needs an exterminator. Is that the landlord's obligation? Isn't it the landlord's obligation? Also deal with, let's say, for some reason there's mold in the apartment, something like that, and the tenant has to move out for a while. Is he required to pay rent during that time? Even on something which the landlord has an obligation to fix, is he mechuyev to pay during that time? Is that enough if he has to back out? Can he leave the apartment if he has to temporarily leave it during that time? There are many, many similar shailas that we'll deal with about what the obligation is for the landlord's obligation, and vice versa. If, let's say, the landlord's not fixing it, can I deduct it from rent? How much time I have to give the zman edo before I leave an apartment? How much notice do I have to give? Again, if there's most of these questions that there is a contract that will discuss it, then it will go bust what the contract said, what the lease says. But very often it's not explicit, it's not clear, or if there is no lease signed, what's the zman edo? How much time or notice does one have to give? And also deal with, let's say, a person wants to back out of a schiras, if let's say there's an einus. We have a case where a person rents, let's say, a hall, and for some reason for a bris, and the bris can't be performed on time, but he already agreed, and they made a kinyan already on the hall. And there's an einus that comes up. Someone asked me a few weeks ago, there was a case where a person rented an apartment, and the couple had, it was a basement apartment, the couple had shalom bayis problems, and then they didn't divorce, the person wanted to move back to his parents' house. What's the obligation? Is there a concept of an einus that because I have no use for the apartment, I don't need it anymore, is that a reason to sort of renege and to go out within a contract, even if they have already a signed contract and there was a kinyan? We'll see that there's a big shaila about benegayitis, that maybe there's a concept of an einus even after there's a kinyan. Again, well, depends who signed it. If they both signed it, so they both have an obligation. I mean, it's a separate issue what they do between themselves, and a separate issue. We're discussing more from tenant versus landlord, but what's the obligation? Do you have to pay b'chiyagata? Again, we'll see that many, many other shaylos which we'll deal with in the coming weeks. B'negei, the tenant-landlord relationship, you're allowed to go to court. If someone's not paying, have them evicted. We'll see many different discussions about the relationship between a landlord and a tenant. But this week we'll start off with the yisaydis of what's a kinyan, and at one point is the kinyan chal, that both sides have an obligation to each other. Says the Mechaber, before we go into the problem of Sirius Karka, the Mechaber in Simen Kuf Peites, and this is a general rule, says that Eina Mekach Nigba Betvorim. If a person has it's not in Marokkan, it's just more of a general thing. We learned this when we learned the concept of Chosra Amonah, that there's no sale, even if both sides commit to each other, Eina Mekach Nigba Betvorim. Sha'im al Chaveroi, if a person has an agreement with another person that he's going to sell him this particular item, in the strat su shneim, that they agreed to it, poskudovim, yichel amach su shneim, meikir the dino, they're each allowed to back out from each other. Afilo idovu fne edim, was in front of edim, and I told them, I want you to be edim, that I'm buying this item, and he's selling the item, so that's not enough, and there's no, only with dealing with a verbal commitment without a maisa kinyan, that's nothing. In order for it to be binding on the parties, it has to be kol dava dava kiroyloi, karka lafi kinyonim, balachayim lafi kinyonim, motatim lafi kinyonim. Everything, every type of an item has different set of kinyonim, but you always have to define as to whether or not you want to know if it's binding on the parties. A deeper ba'alma is not enough to be binding. You have to always define as to what exactly what the kinyon was, and that's what obligates the parties to each other. In absence of a kinyon, even if though they both agreed that they came to a verbal commitment, there is a halacha that one is allowed to back out from such an agreement. Now we did discuss, well, A handshake is a possible kinyan. There's a concept called the situmta, which is that the minik hasoichrim, it has to be that in this particular type of a sale, this is an agreement, you know, that a handshake is enough. A handshake not on everything is probably not enough. When there's leasing an apartment, it comes to a handshake. I'm not sure if there's a kinyan that's for sure considered a kinyan. And we'll see also that there's a discussion, at least in the Mishpachon, that brings a Bach and many other poskim, and it could be that a situmta, which is not a kinyan, which is not a terror, is only b'negei metalta, but not b'negei karka. We'll get to that as well. So it could be that even though situmta is kind of, it would be a situmta, could be situmta is not enough, again, the shachas. It's not like that, it's a big machlokes as to what but that's one of the aspects that we have to deal with. We have to start donning different situations as to whether or not it was a kinyan. It wasn't a kinyan. But the starting point is, if it was not a kinyan and it was only a dibur ba'almo, the halacha is that each party has a right to ikir dina to back out. Again, we discussed this many, many times, that although the ikir dina person has a right to back out, there's a concept called mechusar amono. Someone is not being oimed b'diburay. Sheyes yosrol v'yasa avlo v'yidah. Because of the person has a requirement to keep to a commitment, even the verbal commitment without a kinyan. Mechavan Simon Reish Dalat Zayin says, "Anois b'dvorim b'vad, reiz a royal amid b'dibburay, afal b'shaloi." Lachmado, it's got here, even if he gave a damen, but a roshem, he didn't make a kinyan situmto. He goes through a bunch of different kinyanim. Mechalav chayzer bein lekeh, bein moichah, b'shein echayev lekabal mishapara, reiz a mechus ha'mon, we'll see there's two madregas, there's a concept of a mishapara, which is a Muhammadic madrega. There's also a concept of mechusar amon, a person has a requirement to be oimed b'diburay. And we'll see that there are certain instances where a person is not required to be oimed b'diburay. There's a concept of both a machlokes ha'poskim, there's a concept called trei tari, where the situation changed drastically from the original situation, where someone at that point wanted to sell it. But the situation changed that he was offered double the amount of money now and he wants to sell it to the second person. It could be there's a concept called trei tari, where the situation changed and maybe there is no mechus ha'mon. We'll see if this is in the kudus b'negeid. I don't know, where can you show it? It depends. It could be that there's a concept. Every situation is different. Again, it's not something that you take lightly. That's in the starting point is that it's mechus ha'mon and you have mechuyev to be oimed b'dibura. If you're in a particular situation where the situation changed after you made the verbal commitment that it's going to cause you a lot of harm if you go follow through with your dibur, the svar is that daikta d'hochi lo, I didn't agree. I agreed to sell it to you and I have to keep to my dibur. The concept of trei tari is that had I known this particular situation would have come up, I would not have originally committed to you. So there's a concept, once it's a kinyan, and the kinyan is chal, so there's no backing out. You already sold it. The person buys an item and say, oh, I have a situation and I want to get it back from you, obviously it can't be undone. But when the whole commitment comes from the fact that I have a requirement to be able to be diburi, so it could be that in certain situations where had I known the situation would have arisen based on my dibur, I would not have originally made that dibur. It's sort of like a dibur v'toyis. It wasn't in this situation. I never agreed to do it. So there is sort of an out within the concept of mechusar amono. Again, it's not something to be taken lightly because, again, the other side is a very chomedic Indian. There's a side of the Raisa, it's the Arbonne, it's a side that's a Rosh if you back out. It's a chomedic Indian to be reneged on one's verbal commitment. But there are, again, it's a machloikas in this, but the minig is of place to be makel on this, that the situation is a clear, big difference between from the verbal commitment and the person is going to suffer a loss, a real loss, if he's going to follow through with his dibur. Then there is a sort of a way out on a mechusar amona, which obviously would not be true once there is a kinyan. So let's go through with the prote hakinyan that there are by karka. So the Gemara Baba Kama, which we saw today, says k'shem shekarka niknas b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. The same way karka is nikna b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka, kach schiris nikna b'kesef b'shtar b'chazaka. So the Gemara says that there are three different kinyanim that there are b'negeya schiris karka, it's niknes, the kasef, the shtar, and chazaka. Now we'll see that there are many, though these are forms of kinyanim, which is kind of you the kasef, the shtar, and chazaka, we'll have to take each one separately. I want to go through a few cases where, it's not so posh, we'll see that these, whether or not the kinyan actually happened or didn't happen. So I just want to go through two, I guess, cases, and we'll bring out the Indian of the kinyan. One case is, let's say someone agrees to rent a hall, he calls up a chasen hall, and he asks them what dates are available, comes up a date, it's perfect, it's a Sunday, perfect date, exactly works out, the person's coming in, there's a date for the oif, if he works out, chabrof, everything works out, And he goes ahead and books that date. A few weeks later, he's discussing with a friend of his about, also his son got engaged, also, and he asked him, what did he make in the chasana? And he tells him that the same Sunday which he had already booked. And he calls up the chasana hall, and he says, what's going on with you? You already booked that date for me. So sorry, we didn't realize it. We gave the date to someone else. And the question over here is, obviously, the renting of a chasana hall or renting of any hall would be an inyan of schiras karaka. And the question is, this is where it's important, this verbal commitment. Again, if we do different stages, what happens if there was a verbal commitment to each one? So person number one only had a verbal commitment, he didn't actually give a deposit, he didn't sign any contract with the hall. And now the second person, they already agreed to give it to the second person. Let's say, what's the achrayas and what's the din of the hall? Who do they go ahead and give it to? And let's say the case is different with not just a verbal commitment. The first person, for whatever reason, did not give a deposit. They didn't demand from him a deposit. We said it over here, the sinful hole in this rule over here does not require a deposit. But the second person actually went ahead and gave a deposit. The first person did not give a deposit. It was only a verbal commitment. And the second person did give a deposit. What's the halacha? So bring this to a fundamental question of, well, how do you look at a deposit? Is it a kinyan kesef or not a kinyan kesef? And we'll go through also a case of what happens if the first person was only a verbal commitment and the second person, not only did he give a deposit, he also went ahead and signed the contract. The second case I want to deal with, which is also a case where it's not clear as to whether or not there's a kinyan, and this is also a fairly common case, is what happens if someone rented an apartment from someone else, he rented a house, and they signed a 2-year lease. But a year and a half into the lease, the person calls and he wants to extend the lease. Calls up the landlord and says, I want to stay for another 2 years. He says, sure, no problem. They negotiate a raise. And they come to an agreement as to what the rent will be. 5 months later, before the 2 years expired, the landlord wants to renege. Wants to back out. Or the tenant decides he wants to back out. Are they allowed to back out? And obviously we'll deal with the question of a chusar amonah, it might be a verbal commitment that there will be, but let's say there's a tiny rabbi, something happened, he has to move out, or he got a job in a different city, which now he has to move out, so there's no tiny al's mechusar amonah. The question is that agreement that they had between each other to extend the lease, is that a kinyan or not? If it would be halachically considered a kinyan, then both sides would be stuck and they wouldn't be able to back out. But if the halacha would be that would only be considered a dibur, then a person would be able to back out. So it's important to understand what exactly the kinyanim that we're discussing in the gay karka in order to understand the answer to these questions. So I mentioned the Gemara. Gemara says, Shekshem shekarka nikna b'kesef v'shtar v'chazakam. Just like karka is nikna b'kesef v'shtar v'chazakam, kach sirus is the same way a rental of karka is nikna b'kesef v'shtar v'chazakam. So let's take each one of these kinyanim separately, and we'll see that each one is not so posh exactly what constitutes a kinyan. The first thing is, the first kinyan that the Gemara mentions is the concept of kinyan kesef. So obviously the halacha is kinyan kesef is that if someone gives money to someone else in order to acquire an item, so the halacha is by metaltalin, if a person wants to buy something which is done by metaltalin, kesef is not kaina, that's what we pass in, well, it's not machoikas, but we pass in kesef is not kaina, only b'negeya mishapar. Maybe with their abundance, for sure not kind of shad with the rice, but it's kind of with their abundance, zikha not kind of, only with the gay mishapar. Someone gives money to buy a particular item, and the seller wants to, with everyone of the party wants to back out. The halacha was that the mere fact that they gave money for it is not enough of a kinyan, and each party, if they back out, there's a halacha that the person has to be aimed with the burri, and over here, the fact that kesef was given is a madrega higher, that the mishapara, the concept of the mishapara, which is a very chomet kinyan, but kesef is not kind of with the gay metatla. The negayah karka, if a person is buying a house, the halacha is if one gives kesef to the other party, the halacha is that kesef is kind of. The reason why metaltalin is the concept of shem l'nisav v'techa b'aliyah, we're nervous that the seller is holding on to the item. If a fire breaks out, he's not going to try to save it because it's not his item anymore, but the karka that doesn't apply. The bottom line is the klora halacha, that by kesef is kind of b'negayah karka. That being said, even if a person goes ahead when he leases, and we're dealing with Tzchiris Karka, when he goes ahead and he leases Karka, who then some of the Tzfaris will apply when he's buying it as well, it's not so posh that there's certain Eifanim where Kesef would not actually go to be kind. Go through two Chesroinus within the Kinyan of Kesef, which might not make it that doesn't apply in all cases. One is, what happens when the norm is that a person does not rely on giving Kesef by itself? The Asher the Kasvish Torah. if it's a place where the norm is that a person expects, a person buys a house, a person makes a big investment, a person's leasing for his business, and makes a long-term investment, a 10-year lease on that thing, a person's not going to be satisfied, okay, I gave him $1,000 deposits, and now all of a sudden I'm comfortable and confident that I'm gonna, that the meicher or the landlord is gonna fear us, and he's not gonna go ahead and give it to me. A person really relies on the fact that it's usually something that's negotiated. They go to a lawyer, they sign a lease, and in such a case, a person's reliance is not on the fact that he was kind of a kinyan kesef. His reliance is the fact that he has a lease that sort of shows clearly that he has the rights to it. And a person's not gonna rely on the fact that there was a commitment, and not only was it a verbal commitment, but he actually went ahead and gave kesef. A person doesn't rely on the fact that he gave kesef until he has in his hands a shtar which says clearly what his rights are. So after that, what happens with chiyai gavna, where a person that gave money, but they, for some reason they didn't both sign the lease yet, what happens with chiyai gavna is that ikir kinyan kesef, because the fact that a person is not saying it does. The second issue we'll deal with is very often when the kesef is given, it's given in advance. And it's called a deposit. The person asks for a deposit, he goes ahead and gives money. How does halacha view as a deposit? Is a deposit meant that it's a knas, sort of? A person is renting a hall. So he says, the owner of the hall says, you have to give me a deposit, I'm not holding it to you. So when he gives that money, is it meant that he's buying the hall, he's making a kinyan on the hall, or no? The seller will not, the owner of the hall will not give it to him unless he's secure that the person is going to really end up renting it from him. So he demands that a deposit be given. But if the person backs out, maybe the owner could keep the deposit. But it's not actually the kesef b'chiyai gavna is not given to be a kinyan. The kesef is given to ensure that the person fears oh, yes, and the person actually goes ahead and rents it. They've burned too many times. They want to make sure the person who says he's renting it is actually going to go ahead and rent it. He's not negotiating with six different people. So the hall demands that they give a deposit in order to make sure that he was serious enough that he knows he's going to lose money if he backs out. But the kesef b'chiyai gavna, it's not poshut, is intended to be a kinyan on either one of the parties. So those are two chesronis we have to deal with in the gay of the kinyan, the inyan of a kinyan kesef. So one of them is dealt with Mufush in the Gemara. The first opinion that we said that the chesron within the kinyan of kesef in a place where they write a shtar, the Gemara says Omer Rav. The Gemara discusses the Gemara is derived from a pasuk, but kesef is kind of karka. Loishano v'mokum she'en kesef nes hashtar. This that we say that kesef is kind of karka is only true the makam she'en kesef nes hashtar. In cases where they rely on the fact that kesef is given, but they don't necessarily go ahead and write a shtar. The makam she'en kesef nes hashtar by kana. Even though kesef is kaina, and it's kaina min atayra, the halacha is that the makam where people's reliance is not on the kesef, whose reliance is on the fact that they sign a lease, that they sign a contract, that a sale agreement, and they rely sort of on the shtar, then spechiagam the kesef is not kaina. And Rashi explains the reason is the kibin regilim b'hachi, since it's rogel b'hachi, there is some chadaiti the lekech is not secure, at the nothing story, he doesn't feel that he has, until he has the shtar in his paper, until he has a signed lease, or until he has a signed sale agreement, he's not secure that even though if he gave money in the escrow, if he gave money directly to a person, doesn't make a difference, still he's not secure until the shtar is signed, and therefore, b'chiyai gavna, where he gave money, and even though kesef should be kaina, it's a machoikas, if it's the mashmois of some rishonim, is that it's a din darabonon, some say it's a din midiraisa, but the bottom line is that the asr, the kasvi shtar, in a place where the norm that it is, that this type of deal does not take place, unless a signed contract goes along with it, the chiyai gavna kesef is not kaina. No, because I'm doing an asmachta. But here the money was not given b'teris in an asmachta, not an asmachta. The money was given b'teris that it should be, I'm buying a house from you. So I put 10% down, and we agreed that you'll give me the rest. Give me the rest at the time of closing. But the kesef over here, I'm not relying on the fact that I gave you kesef. I want to see a contract. I want to have secure something that I could force you to actually go ahead with the sale. So a person's reliance is not on the fact that he gave money. His reliance is the fact that he has a signed contract. So until the contract is actually signed by both parties, the kinyan didn't happen because although kesef could be kaina, kesef is not kaina b'chiyai gavna because the parties do not rely that it's considered like it's finished. The sale actually happened until there's actual signed agreement between the parties. The Masih B'chaber and some Kuvtzabis and Zion Paskins like this, that the Mokum, the Medvamum Shekhana Bekesef Lavar, Mokum Shederech Lucht Leveshtar, the Mokum Shederech Lucht Leveshtar, the Kona, the Loch is that a place where it's not kind of, unless they sign, where the expectation is that a contract will be signed, Kesef by itself is not kind of. Now the remote does bring, in some Kuvtzabi Hei, Sif Tetz, says that Beschiris is different. Zotir Amor, big chiddush. Field walk from Shekasev in a koina, even though he said a kasev is not koina below Ishtar, Kamesha Amaleel Simakov Tabi, we come walk from Zotir Beschiris Sagiloi Bekasev Lechot. When it comes to rental of property, although we said that the Asher Bekasev Ishtaru, that the person doesn't have a reliance unless he went and signed a contract, in addition to giving the money. When it comes to Schiris Karka, here it's kind of below, it's Sagi the Kesef Lechud, and he doesn't have to have a signed contract in order to transfer Karka, and Kesef is kind of the Karka, even when the normative so is to, by a sale, that it should be a signed contract. And the question is, what's the Ramah saying? Is the Ramah saying a Svoro because by Schiris, person doesn't demand necessarily that a shtar should be written or not? So the mashmaris of this sma is, he says the schiris lav mi derech ha'olam lichtav alav shtar. The reason is because the schiris it's not the derech ha'olam to write a shtar. The samchadas ha'soicha below a shtar kivon v'liyamim ketzuvim sachru. It's not a long term investment. It's not a long term sale. It's only v'liyamim ketzuvim that I want. It's a mail of chiyagav. The person does not necessarily go ahead and demand that a shtar be written as well. So if the svar is the way the sma says it, the it would depend on what type of schiris we're dealing with. If we're dealing with a schiris of businesses renting leasing a property, the commercial space is 10, 15 years is planning on being there, and they sat and negotiate all terms and conditions, the svar that the Ramah says that by schiris, since it's the loy slump that he's soymer das, even without having a shtar, yesh lion if that's true. A person making a big investment, He's going ahead and fixing up that space. He's investing a tremendous amount of money. He's moving his business over here. To say that a person relies on the fact that he gave money by itself, so if that would be true. The Maaseh Mishpat Sholem brings that from Abnei Tzedek, that he says, El Vodar Amo seems to say that Aloch is that by Schiris, it's kind of even by Asro, the Kasvishtar, by Kasav by itself. He says that the Minik HaYoyim is that a person does not rely on Schiris Karka unless he has a signed contract. And therefore, the Ramo is not saying that it has to be like that. The Ramo is saying the Alocha that the Minik was that they didn't demand necessarily a shtar. So the Chayru, if this would be true, then it would depend on what the situation is. If a person is renting a wall, person over here, let's say, and they ask for kesef up front. So there, a person does not necessarily mock that he should go ahead and have a shtar. Or a person's renting a bungalow from someone else for a Shabbos, for a short-term lease, he's taking there, a person doesn't necessarily demand that he has a shtar in his hand. A person's renting a short-term lease, he doesn't necessarily demand it. So there, a law will be true that even if a person does not have a lease, as long as he gave money, that would be enough to make a kinyan. But if the situation is the person's dealing with a long-term lease, and again, there could be different places. I would imagine that the minig over here is that a person is renting a house, even if it's a residential lease for a year or two. A person would not feel that it's comfortable that the owner of the house is going to give him it unless he has a signed lease. And the chayr, there's a very strong welcome to say that until the lease is actually signed, there is no kinyan, even though there's a kinyan kesef, even though he gave money, and kesef should be kinyan, he gave a deposit, he gave money, still that would not be enough until the actual lease was signed, and the only way for karka to be transferred would be if he actually went ahead and signed the lease. So let's go back to the first case we're dealing with. Okay, so a person rents a hall, and a person, he rented it, they agreed to give it to person number one, and afterwards they went, and by mistake, they didn't realize that it was booked to person number one. They gave the booking, they went and they gave it to person number two. So in this case, we're dealing with the case of renting a hall. Dear Bechia Gavna, I would not call it the Asher the Kasvi Shtar. It's not a place where the norm is that a person's reliance is only when he has a signed contract. There's a certain agreement, the person goes and there's a reliance. Even with a verbal commitment, the person thinks that they won't rent it to someone else. But if he went ahead and gave money, then Lechari wouldn't have this chasaran that Kesef is not kind of a chiyagavna. So if a person went and gave money, it was given l'shem kinyan. The person said, I'm giving you this money in order to be kind of, you're not going to back out from that. So the chiyagavna that would be kind of to the second person. Now, so we got different variations. Let's take the case where he rented the hall to person number one and then he gave it to person number two. Let's say there was a verbal commitment only to both of them. So we mentioned before, there's a concept of mechusar amana. When a person goes ahead and promises to someone, even if there was no formal kinyan made, if they back out, they're einar b'dibura, and there's a concept of chosar mono. So what do you do b'chi agavna, where he promised it to person number one, and he promised it to person number two? Who's the shibut to? He promised it to both of them. So what's the achrayas of the owner of the hall? Who do they have to give it to? They sort of made a verbal commitment to person number one, but they also made a verbal commitment to person number two. So the Kesef HaGedoshim in Siman Reish Dalet discusses this Shiloh, and he says that the Dibur is to both of them. He says, because the first person, I gave him my Dibur, so obviously that Dibur is something real. But even the second person, it was done by mistake, really I could, B'chi Agav, to be Mephias, the first one, I could sort of pay him off, I could work on getting him to release me from that agreement. So when I gave a verbal commitment to a second person, that commitment is also considered a commitment, and he's by Psarachi and what a person should do. Because since he gave a verbal commitment to one, and he gave a verbal commitment to both of them, so he seems to say the person has an achrayus to mefai is one of them, in order to make sure that to get out of it, one of them, to mefai is one of them, so that he should release him and he'll give it to the other person. Oh, so really, so he tries getting around that. He's saying that since I could be mefai, so we don't say it's a clear mistake. He tries saying that maybe b'chi agav, I have a way out. I have a way out to be mefai. Well, my said the Minchas Pitrin and Sefer Shiurei Mincha brings that the Beis Yosef says not like that. Beis Yosef in Yerideis when Reish Amar Dalet discusses giving a moil. You promise one moil, and you promise a second moil. You have this type of commitment that gave it to the first person, gave it to the second person, brings Chuvas Maram. It says clearly that the halacha is that you give it to the first person, not to the second person. And the Marit seems to say this more that you said that the second person was betoyts. The second person, when I promised the first person, was taka a real commitment. That was Embu Diburi. Had I known Bishas, the second person, that I really promised the first person would want it still. So B'chi Agavna, the whole promising was B'toyas, and so B'chi Agavna is not a verbal commitment. But he says the halacha would be that I should go ahead and go give it to the first person. So if there was a verbal commitment on both ends, you'll have that svara that the first person was only, the first person was B'chusar Amat to the first person, and the second person, that dibur is not a binding dibur because it was a dibur b'tayis, and b'chi agav me d'avach would be that I should have to give it to the first person. Now noisef al zeh, it could be there's also is the mahabba b'chararo of the second person. There's avach that only mahabba. If someone has a verbal agreement with someone else, and someone comes along and tries to break that agreement, the halacha is that the second person that comes along to break an agreement is considered a rasha. Now even if it was b'shayim, even if it was unaware b'shas ma'isa that the person sort of already committed to someone else, so for in the Peskin, in a pass like this, that a Shegig is also has Issa Mahapa Bacharor. Now, but this would depend, the Issa Mahapa Bacharor would depend on a different factor. If the person said, listen, I want this called up the hall and said, I'm looking for a hall on this particular date. So as Mahapa, I was trying to go ahead and to get that date, unbeknownst to me that someone else had already given it to someone else, but I'm trying to undo a deal, I'm trying to get something which is already committed to someone else. But if he called up the Nastan, he called up the hall, and he said, what dates do you have available? I'm not looking for any particular date. And the hall listed off a bunch of dates that are available. And one of the dates that the hall listed off was a date which they already committed to someone else that they had forgotten about. B'chi agav that it might not be Issa Hapal Charor. Because Allah b'anim Hapal Charor is, it's only when I'm trying to undo a deal, even though I don't know that I'm undoing a deal, but I'm instigating, I'm sort of the cause of the reason why the deal gets broken up. But if the Meicher offers me, the Meicher asks me, what do you have for sale? And he goes and gives me something which he already committed to someone else, there's no Issa Mahapa B'charor. So that would depend on the second Svar. If you go, even if you want to go to Kesef HaGedoshim, that maybe is a Suffolk in Chusar Amonu, but still, Issa Mahapa B'charor, the right thing would be that the second person should give it up. But that would depend on who initiated the asking for this date. If the person called up and asked for a specific date, let's say in this shul here, I want to make an offer if it's a book for a different bar mitzvah. I asked specifically, I need the one this Shabbos. Is it available? I want to book this. So I asked for a specific date, and they were told that this date is available. Even though the etzim was not available, I still had an issa l'charor, b'ani mahapa l'charor, because even though it was b'shoyg, I didn't know about it, and I was b'chuyo l'charor to back off and not to go ahead and to try to get it. If, however, I gave it, left it open-ended, and I just asked them what dates are available, and they told me this date's available, then l'chi agav, there's no issa mahapa l'charor. Correct. Because the issa, because I should back off now. I can still back at it. The ma'aseh, I'm not supposed to undo a deal. There was a verbal commitment to give it to the person. The shas ma'aseh, they forgot about it. But the ma'aseh said, kol sarif, I tried, and what I did was I undid a previous deal. So I was mahapach to try to get something which really should have gone to someone else. And he said that was undone. That's what I thought about. The shaykh, I mean, the days they hold the shaykh, there isn't the maybe they're not getting this. The ma'aseh, that's the way to pass him, that even the ma'aseh passed like this, it's more, a lot of b'shoyim like that, that the issa mahapa charor is even the case where it was b'shoyim. Even if I wasn't aware that I was trying to undo a deal, but my circumstances, so the charor b'chi agavna, with a verbal commitment, the charor should go to the first person, depending on Hay Mitzah, there's a concept of Mechusar Amona, and they promised them first that they should be able to be to the first person. And even for some reason, the shul itself doesn't feel that it was a trait party, the cheshbonis that they have, what, it can't be Embe Diburi. Let's say the second person is the main donor to the shul, and they feel if they give it to the first person, they're going to lose so much money that maybe you could have a heter of trait tari. It's still the second person himself might have an issue to go ahead and take it, because he was Mahatma Bukharora, and his din is to go ahead and to give it up. Now let's say the case was where it wasn't a verbal commitment on both ends. The first person was only a verbal commitment, but the second person went and gave kesef. So here we have a different dynamic. The first person was dealing with Mechusar Amona, but the second person, Lachar, went ahead and made a kinyan on it. So the Lachar should belong to the second person. So here also, we'll say it's not Pashat. When a person goes ahead and gives a deposit, the person didn't give kesef or shem kinyan, but a person gave a deposit for a whole. How does how do we view a deposit? Is a deposit mean that if I back out, I'm going to lose my deposit, but nothing more than that happens? It's just the way that the hul has, that the way to ensure that the person who to ask me to save a date for them is actually, you know, keep that date, and if he backs out, he loses the deposit. Well, no, really, it's the shame. It was given, I gave money, and I gave kesef. Kesef is kind of a karaka. We're dealing with a serious karaka. So that's in both sides are sort of bound by the fact that kesef was given, so it was kind of, he's the person who came to the hall, sort of made a kinyan on the hall, and the person was makna to him. So the kinyan is nigmar, and both sides are bound mitzad the kinyan kesef. So this is a tremendous machloikas in the Pesukim. The Pesukei Tshuva and Simen Reish Zayin, Sif Katan Yud Gimel, brings from a Mayim Chayim, brings in the Tshuva's Mayim Chayim, that they're discussing Arduf, which is the same concept as a deposit. They're saying when a person gives a deposit, his intention was only that he's going to lose the deposit if he doesn't end up taking it, but not that anyone, that the money is given l'shem kinyan. A deposit is not a kinyan. Deposits are not kinyanim. Deposits are just given that if he backs out, he's going to go ahead and lose his deposit. We discuss over there, maybe it's a chasana b'smachta. We pass could have a smachta if the person already has the money, there's no chasana b'smachta. We'll leave the smachta part for now. The Minchas Pitim and Tzir Shai both have the same taina on this. He says it comes out a funny thing. The Fidvor of Zok, he brings the Chubas Mayim Chayim. Hamoich Yochel Achseboi, Veinu Lomafilum Mishapor. It's going to come out like this. If he's saying that the Kesef was not meant to be Kesef Hashem Kinyan. So the Lekerach went, he wanted the book a whole, there's $1,000, he went and forgave a $500 deposit. The Moicher, which in this case would be the owner of the hull, still has sort of a right to go ahead and to give it to someone else, because he's not, if the kesef was not kaina, so maybe it's the yom b'dibur, it's a separate issue. Mitzad, the money, it turns out that I gave money, and I got nothing in return for that money. The only thing I did was I created that if I back out, the hull will have to keep the $500, but I got nothing in return with that. Dr. Mrs. Pitten, l'fi dvorov, ha'moich yochel l'achseboi, v'enel l'fi l'mishaporo, v'kech backs out, Yuchlat Randa, which is the deposit, but Tmua Loimer, Shadas Lekeach, and the scene is this deposit that I give a La'ad of Kaycha Moicha Lagamri. He puts himself in a position of such weakness that the Moicha can back out and he doesn't have any problems with backing out. But if I back out, then I go ahead and lose my money. Mel Zakhtim and Chespitim, that's not true. And every time a person goes ahead and gives a deposit, he looks at the deposit like this. I'm not fully committing that it should be a Kenyan. If I back out, sort of the moicher is agreeing to release me from the extra money, really, I rented it for $1,000, I paid $500. The moicher is agreeing that if I back out, low bets in the kesef, it might be a kinyan. He's willing that if I give him the $500 and I don't take the whole, that's enough for him. But mitzad the moicher is sort of a weaker position. The moicher can't back out no matter what. I intended the shah, the ardif and the deposit is given the shem kinyan, and once it's given the shem kinyan, the moicher has no right to back out. So that's a very fundamental machoikas and had a look at a deposit between the tshuva from the Mayim Chayim and the Minchas Pitim, the Beis Shloim, the Teshuva Shai. There's a lot of places that say like the Minchas Pitim that say that when a deposit is given, a deposit is not merely just money that's given that if I back out, the place can keep it. If the kesef is really intended to create a kinyan, and once the kinyan gets created, about it, they can't back out. Well, nice, again, sometimes it's difficult to shtel tzu the mitzias of the earlier poskim, what they discussed, the mitzias of today. I saw the sefer Emek HaMishpat, which is a Heintike sefer. He says, Torech li'in, what a deposit today is. So mitzad echad, you can say that everyone's kavana was l'shem kinyan. Mitzaracha, you could say that it wasn't given the shem kinyan. But I have Sorach Ian as to what the actual intention is, b'shas, a person goes ahead and gives a deposit. If it's the case of a sale of a house, I think there is much more of a tzad to say that it wasn't intended l'shem kinyan. The person goes and puts down 10%, never knows that things could fall through, the intention was that it should be l'shem kinyan, and it could be that a different situation are different. L'shem kinyan by schirias, it could be that over here it's more of intention that it should be l'shem kinyan. But certainly, and I called up different poskim on Friday to ask them what they thought. Shaykh got all different, I spoke to Abraham Cohen, it's Pasha, it's only a Knas, it's not L'shem Kinyan, I spoke to someone else, it's Pasha, that it is. So the Metzias of the Zman Hazeh, to whether or not the Kesef is meant and intended to be a Kinyan, it's Tzarechi and what it would be today. And this would obviously play a tremendous role in the case that we're discussing. If the first person only had a verbal commitment, and the second person gave Kesef, so the Chayru mitzad the second person, if he went and get Kesef, and saw that Kesef was a Kinyan, so those Mechusra monitor to the first, that the whole owner has an obligation to the first person, he can't fulfill that obligation if the second person was already Kinyan. So here, well, so it depends on the case. That's what I said. Depend on what the case was. If the case was, he has an Isam Hapa B'Chararo, so it would be his obligation to back out. But even if it... Even if the classic case of Mabachar is even if the first person did not make a Kenyan, the second person did make a Kenyan, that's when Alim Mabachar passes. But again, it would depend on the situation as to whether or not it's Mabachar. If he initiated and tried to get this particular day, then Lachar would be Isim Mabachar. If for some reason the Moichu was the one who offered him this date, and he didn't initiate it, then it won't be Isim Mabachar or Bichiyak Avna, so then he could try to force his hand to that. So again, it would depend. If you hold it Kesef, the Pazin is a Kenyan, then Allah would be that the second person would get it, assuming he wasn't even Isam Hapa B'Charor. But if it would only be Kesef, would not be a Kenyan, if Kesef would be the Chiyah Gavna, the deposit is not meant as a Kenyan, just the way that he loses the deposit if he backs out, so then the Chayr would go back to the Shiloh, but the only obligation was a verbal commitment to person number one and person number two, and based on what we said from the Marik and the Maram, the Halacha would be that I should give it to the first person and not give it to the second person. You know, over time, we'll have to deal with the second child. We're going to more kinyanim, other kinyanim as well. That's going to be mashal next week.
When you rent a chasna hall in Lakewood for chasna, so there's really two prices. There's one for the yeshiva. There's one for the caterer. So you're talking that your deposit covers the rental of the room and doesn't do anything for the caterer.
Stop it.
And that's usually the way it plays out. So
I mean, the bottom line is if you're ready with kind of the holes, so then the caterer will either choice not the service school or get another caterer. When we're handling over here that Kesef is kind of, Kesef is not necessarily the kind of that a person has an obligation to work for me. He has an obligation only to rent me the
hall. Give me that area.
Give me that area.
This is all only in the game when I put down a deposit. If I put down all the money to the second guy, then is Ani Mahapach not going to play a role?
Ani Mahapach will play a role.
We'll still play a role. Even if I rented
the
whole thing.
Even if I gave all the money, I rented the whole thing. If Lamais, I called up the place, listen, I need, let's take a case of the shul. I called up and said, you know, I need Pasha Shemais, I need the hall.
$300.
Checks, $300 the hall, gives me the whole money. Then he finds out afterwards that Pasha Shemais was